You know that saying, big things come in small packages? That is definitely the case when it comes to Israel and Singapore, two relatively small countries with a lot to offer. So what do two countries with very different cultures, languages, and geography have in common? A lot more than you might think. This is Persona Grata, the official podcast of the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I'm your host, Tamar Schwartzbard. As Israel and Singapore gear up to celebrate 50 years of diplomatic relations, we sat down with Simona Halperin, Israel's ambassador to Singapore, to discuss the historic and growing cooperation between the two countries.
Hi, I'm Simona Halperin, Israel's ambassador to Singapore.
Ambassador Halperin, welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a career diplomat. I joined the Ministry of Foreign Affairs almost 25 years ago. And as I describe it, I prefer to call myself a diplomatic butterfly. I do not specialize in one particular issue or region. So I've been posted from Kazakhstan to the Republic of Korea, Brussels, EU, Taiwan, and now I'm extremely proud and honored to be serving as Israel's ambassador to Singapore.
In 2019, Israel and Singapore are marking half a century of diplomatic relations. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of ties between the two countries?
The beginning was, of course, collaboration and assistance in building the concept and the defense forces, the armed forces of Singapore. But it developed into, for example, a model of HDBs, of public housing, that was very much built and inspired by the public housing of the companies in Israel, Amidar, Amigur, the public housing scheme. It goes to areas such as establishing in Singapore a National Security Council that is based or inspired by the Israeli one. It goes to the establishment of a joint research fund, SIRD, Singapore-Israel Industrial Research and Development, which is an amazing project. Israel has only four joint research funds with countries in the world. It's with the US, it's with Korea, and the fourth one is with Singapore.
The R&D program that you just referred to is very selective. I mean, we're talking about four countries. Why do you think Israel chose Singapore?
Singapore is a leading, not only hub of research and innovation, it has some of the world leading universities, but it has the spirit of excellence and of entrepreneurship, and it is very much supported by the government.
The innovative spirit that Singapore and Israel share is just one of the many similarities between the two countries. I know that on the surface level, it seems that both countries are very, very, very different. But if you dig deeper, you'll find that Israel and Singapore have a lot in common. Can you give us some examples?
Actually, when you look at it, it's very interesting. I always used to describe Israel as a small country surrounded by a very significant, sometimes less than friendly, neighborhood. And coming to Singapore, it makes you a little bit humble, because calling Israel a country of 20,000 kilometers small compared to Singapore, which is a city-state of 750 kilometers, makes you a little bit kind of see things in proportion. But actually, both are very small countries. Both are very young countries, less than somewhere around half a century. Israel just celebrated its 70th year anniversary. Though Israel has a very rich and ancient history that Singapore is now building for itself. So both countries are young, both countries are relatively small in their region, both countries are surrounded by environments that are challenging and could pose a potential risk, and therefore have to build both resilience within and the ability to protect themselves. And both countries have no natural resources, though Israel has discovered in recent years very significant discoveries of gas, but build themselves on the power of the mind and the resource of the people.
What about cultural similarities? Do you see any similarities or connections when it comes to cultural values?
Ah, very good question. Actually, you would think that there are not much cultural similarities, but to your surprise, you would find some. Singapore is a very multi-ethnic and multicultural society. They have a very significant part of the population that is of Chinese ethnicity. About 10% are of Indian origin, and about 15% are Malay. And they have Zoroastrians and Baha'is and Buddhists and Christians and Muslims. So many religions are represented and many ethnicities are represented. And it's a similar case in Israel, as our listeners might know. Israel is a multicultural, multi-ethnical society. The Jewish majority of about 80% of the population comes from 100-plus countries from all four corners of the world. But we have a very significant Arab minority, most of the Muslims, and a smaller minority are Christians. We have Ahmadis, we have Baha'is, we have Samaritans. So this concept of a multicultural society, of this gentle fabric, is something that is similar to both. The centrality of the family, the centrality and value of education is similar to both societies. The centrality of food. Food is such an important part of the Singapore culture. I think it is the most important part of the Singapore culture. Hawker centers that present all different ethnic and fuse the different ethnic cuisines, from hawker centers where you can have a meal for 4 or 5 Singapore dollars to high-end Michelin star restaurants that are world class.
You made a really interesting point earlier. You mentioned that despite having little to no natural resources, Israel and Singapore have both managed to extensively grow their economies. How do you explain this?
Both countries base themselves on education and the human capital as the major resource, and innovation as the only way to develop and to grow and to continue and prosper. Now, Singapore and Israel also have quite similar GDP of about 320, 350 billion US dollars. Though, of course, Singapore being a little bit smaller, the GDP per capita is higher than Israel's, and we aspire to get there. What is also interesting is that this is exactly a very significant bridge for building and expanding our partnership. If in early years the relation started from Israel supporting Singapore's development as part of the value of tikkun olam, the value of assisting a friendly country in need, then in recent decades it developed into a real partnership from dealing with mutual challenges. And I'm not only talking about the obvious, not only security, not only cybersecurity, building the capacity in artificial intelligence, relations in academics, exchanges, Singaporean students coming regularly to Israel for internship and studies in innovation. When you look at Singapore's lead conference on innovation, who runs it? It's Singapore Unbound, InnoFest, Festival of Innovation, and the co-chair is Yossi Vardi, the father of innovation and entrepreneurship in Israel.
You just listed a number of examples and areas in which Israel and Singapore are partnering. Do you think that there's been a growth in cooperation between the two countries in recent years?
Absolutely. I have to say, I think a major leap forward was the mutual visits of the Prime Minister, Lee Hsien Loong, that visited Israel in 2016, followed by the visit of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Singapore in 2017. And that was a very significant step forward because it signaled to both business communities, academic communities, that it is not only okay to do business, but it is in the open. If in early years the Israelis were referred to as the Mexicans because of the very fragile environment Singapore is located in, then after the memoirs of the founding Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew mentioned Israel as the country that helped Singapore in the early years, it started getting out of in the open. And the two visits were extremely successful. They were very well received. The Prime Minister Lee, when he visited Israel, received an honorary doctorate from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Prime Minister Netanyahu, when he visited Singapore, there was a very broad discussion that put a very significant focus on technological cooperation, on partnership towards the developing world. Prime Minister Netanyahu and Prime Minister Lee agreed on a partnership between the TCD and the Israeli Mashav, the Agency for International Development, to partner for the benefit of developing countries, both in the Pacific and in Africa. So we join forces and we actually reinforce each other. And only in 2018, we had three courses that took place, one in Singapore and two in Israel, that were joined in supporting and promoting accelerators, in supporting and promoting food safety. So those are areas where we can join hands for the benefit of others.
You noted that Singapore is located in somewhat of a fragile environment. Some of Singapore's neighbors are not particularly friendly to Israel. I know that your embassy has been using some creative diplomacy to reach millions of individuals in these countries and share Israel's story. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Singapore's environment, and in very particular, Malaysia and Indonesia, are two countries that unfortunately Israel does not have diplomatic relations with, and not because Israel does not want to develop relations with those countries. I remember in the mid-90s when I joined the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, two of my course mates were beginning to study Bahasa Indonesian in the hope of very soon opening an embassy in Jakarta. Unfortunately, we are not there. But we devote a lot of efforts to building economic relations with Indonesia, to building public outreach. We have a Facebook page of Israel in Berbahasa Indonesia that we have over 300,000 followers. And this page is managed by an Indonesian expert that is working for us at the embassy. We do a lot of public diplomacy outreach by sharing what Israel does, both in Israel, including building relations between communities and between religions, and what is happening with the Arab minority in Israel, and their role and the integration and the participation, both in government, in military, in economics. But we actually also try to respond. For example, just recently there was an earthquake in Lombok in Indonesia. Israel contributed, immediately responded, and we worked with one of the major Muslim organizations in Indonesia to provide water purification system that are operating now in the island of Lombok. And we offered the same after event in Palu. We did the same many years ago after the major event of the tsunami 2004. We provided a plane load of humanitarian assistance. So Israel is willing, interested, and reaching out to people in Indonesia, and we hope to build relations also with the officials.
Going back to the Indonesian Facebook page for a minute, what have the reactions been like?
Well, it's amazing to see. This Facebook page is actually not dealing with the political situation, because that is an area that is a very sensitive area to our Indonesian followers. So we reach out to them by sharing what Israel does in areas of technology, in areas of development, in areas of agricultural, in areas of medical. And those posts get actually very good response rate. But the most amazing is when we shared the water purification systems that we have provided to Lombok, that post received almost 2,000 shares from Facebook page, which I find to be amazing.
Looking back on 50 years of diplomatic ties between Israel and Singapore, what do you think has been the greatest achievement or the most successful area of cooperation between the two countries?
Wow, I think number one, definitely the extensive cooperation in the areas of economics and technology. Just to give an indication, two major Singaporean companies have already established R&D centers in Israel or purchased Israeli companies that are serving as their R&D branch in Israel. And major Singaporean company, ST Engineering, has opened and signed a cooperation with the city of Ashdod, and they are opening an R&D center in the area of autonomous vehicles. They are starting with autonomous buses that are going to roll the streets of Ashdod. So there is so much that is happening. And I am positive that in 2019, that we are going to be marking 50 years of diplomatic relations. We have a year of activities. We have more than 30 projects and events that are going to be happening, from women empowerment session to cultural and food presentation to collaboration with the National Library of Singapore to an event that is going to deal with Tikkun Olam and have a session of TOM, Tikkun Olam Makers, reaching out to people with disabilities, to a carnival presenting and celebrating 50 years of diplomatic relations. We're going to have a list of amazing events. We're going to have a business summit. We're going to expand the collaboration with universities. So plenty is happening. And at the beginning of January, we're going to unveil the winner of a logo design competition that we have. And we've received over 25 submissions of designers from Singapore, expats living in Singapore, and even a design from Indonesia and one from Malaysia that offer designs celebrating Israel and Singapore celebrating 50 years. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. So it seems like there's a lot going on when it comes to Israeli-Singaporean ties. Earlier, you mentioned cooperation in the fields of technology and cybersecurity. What does this relationship look like?
In 2018, we had a Cyber Tech Asia in Singapore. And actually, there is an amazing amount of cooperation that is going on, both in research, but very practically in collaboration in the areas of cybersecurity with both government, but business, local authorities. I am not going to go into the details because some of it is a little bit more sensitive. But the idea is, if we used to think that cyber is a risk to national security infrastructure, today we understand that cyber is actually a risk to civilian infrastructure that is part of national security. So following last summer, there was a major cyber incident with targeting and hitting the health sector in Singapore when data of millions of people were exposed. Israel has a very particular strength, and we have a close cooperation both with the civilian ministries involved, with hospitals, with institutions, and with Singaporean companies dealing with cybersecurity solutions. But cyber is only one area of collaboration. We actually have a lot going on, as I mentioned, in the area of transport, in the area of med tech. For example, we just had in November the competition for selecting the best startup in Singapore in the area of health tech and med tech. And the prize was coming to Israel for Star Jerusalem. And because there were so good submissions, I couldn't make it only one winner. So we actually selected two winners, one in the area of health tech, actual medical technology, and one in the area of food tech, addressing the most pressing problem, which is diabetes. And two winners came to Israel and participated in the week of Star Jerusalem.
Moving on to economic ties and trade, what would you say are some of the stronger areas of trade between Israel and Singapore?
Whoa, good question. I think the most popular or the kind of heaviest areas of the trade are in the services area. And when I say services, it is software, it is cyber, it is AI, it is med tech, it is fintech. Singapore is a world hub of financial technologies. It is actually, maybe to the surprise of some, also in the areas of oil and gas and energy, because Singapore, though they don't have any of those resources, is a hub for trading in oil and gas. And they have Jurong Island, that is actually about 20% of Singapore's economy coming from trading and dealing with oil, gas, and its derivatives. And Israel has technologies that are relevant for those areas. So that's where most of the trade and economic collaboration is. Only a couple of months ago, the Israel and the Singapore Stock Exchange agreed on dual listing and had an event where Israeli companies came, invited by the Singapore Stock Exchange, to present, and some of them are working towards an IPO in Singapore. So really, even the sky is not the limit.
Speaking of skies, are there any plans to launch direct flights between Israel and Singapore?
Like my wish that I hope, I don't know if it's going to happen in 2019, but I hope that we're going to be able to work towards it, is that we have a direct flight from Singapore to Israel. To bring Singapore Airlines to Israel would be the most amazing achievement. And I think that the main goal and what we're going to do is work very hard on enhancing economic and academic collaboration between Israel and Singapore to show Singapore Airlines that there is really enough, both traffic and substance, and perhaps to have finally also a counterpart resident in Israel and have a Singapore embassy in Israel.
We've covered a lot of topics here today. If you had to share one final message with your Singaporean listeners, what would it be?
I would definitely tell them, guys, come to Israel. Whether you are a student looking for really an experience that will open you up to the culture of innovation and entrepreneurship, whether you are a business entrepreneur or a company looking for interesting technologies that could give you a leap jump, whether you are looking for an amazing touristic experience, Israel is so much more than just the Holy Land. It has so much to visit and to see, from culture of a city that never sleeps and parties and history and nature and the human experience and some of the most beautiful beaches and architecture. So I would tell my Singapore listeners, if you haven't been to Israel yet, hop on a plane. You must come here at least once in your lifetime, because once you come once, you're going to want to repeat.
Ambassador Halperin, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much, Tamar.
Listeners can follow Ambassador Halperin on Twitter at HalpST. We'll include a link in the bio of this episode. Thank you all for joining us today, and thank you to Rivka Wapner for her help in editing this episode.